Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Danny Marie, a.k.a. the Stoned Zebra. Danny is joining us today to talk about the trifecta: Ehlers-Danlos, gastroparesis, and chronic pain. Welcome, Danny.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, Danny.
And hi, folks.
And in your honor, I'll be stoned throughout this episode.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I'm stoned, so.
So, Lita, how is today any different than any other episode that we're taping?
This time I'm being upfront about it. All kidding aside, I do use medical cannabis and CBD for chronic pain, but only at night before I'm ready to go to sleep. So I am not actually stoned right now.
Yeah. Anywho, Danny, could you tell us what led to your diagnosis and which came first? Were you diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or gastroparesis? And about how long did it take to get a diagnosis?
Yeah, so it took almost 7 years of my health declining after giving birth until I got my EDS diagnosis. They kept saying lupus, fibromyalgia, neuropathy, chronic pain syndrome, read a book about your pain, it'll help. So on average, it took me a total of 28 and a half years to get a diagnosis.
Wow.
Because EDS is genetic, mm-hmm. and it's present at birth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On average, it takes people over a decade to get diagnosed. As far as my gastroparesis, my first out of five motor vehicle accidents where I was hit in my wheelchair as a pedestrian by a car in the last 16 months, mind you, caused my gastroparesis.
Oh my gosh.
My gastroparesis symptoms began almost immediately after the accident in July 2022. I had a ton of aggressive testing, and I was diagnosed with gastroparesis grade 3 in May of 2023. It took almost a year.
Wow.
A lot to swallow.
Yeah.
Danny, are your symptoms that you have, are they typical for someone living with EDS and gastroparesis?
Yeah, I mean, my symptoms are somewhat typical for someone with EDS and gastroparesis combined. I've got bloating, nausea, I feel full early, severe constipation, weight loss, dehydration, belching, belly pain, stoma pain. That's specific to me, though.
Yeah.
EDS just tacks on chronic pain, joint instability, and other comorbidities that I have, like POTS, mast cell activation syndrome, and orthostatic hypotension.
Okay.
My gastroparesis is fairly severe. My study said it took 15 hours for my stomach to completely empty. Okay. That is why I am primarily tube-fed.
Okay.
My GJ is currently placed, and that is my treatment. But soon I'm having it separated because of Ehlers-Danlos complications.
Okay.
And surgery will be happening at Mass General any day now.
Okay.
The last 2 weeks have been very rough.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And with those symptoms, was your healthcare team able to make a diagnosis?
It sounds like
Or did you do it basically yourself by going through life and just gathering up the information on your own?
Yeah, so it was a combination of both, honestly. My physical therapist, after my accident, who was educated in the UK, which it's more taught there, was the one who picked up on the fact that I'm hypermobile in all of my joints. And I scored a 9 out of 9 on the Baton scale of hypermobility. Her findings are what sent me on my diagnosis journey. I knew in my heart it wasn't fibromyalgia. There mm-hmm. was no way. Mm-hmm. And she had just proved it.
Okay.
After 6 months, genetic testing and many visits to Mass General, I was diagnosed with combination type hypermobile classic Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I had both hypermobility, mm-hmm. Ehlers-Danlos, and the genes with the clinical criteria to meet classic type as well.
Okay. All right.
It's possible to have more than one type of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
And you are the first person that we've talked to right. that has more than one type.
You are the Ehlers-Danlos yes. syndrome overachiever.
Yes. yes. We're going to have to send you your, yeah. we'll yeah. send you a crown.
Yes.
The queen of
it's, yeah,
the
but
queen.
It's not the crown
Zebra
you want.
Crown.
It is.
Yes.
It's
yes.
not the crown you want. I'm so sorry. yeah.
So,
I had to go through so much testing to get my gastroparesis diagnosis. These were the tests that I did. Anorectal mammometry, anofecal defecometry, the smart pill study, the barium swallow study, both modified and regular, and numerous labs. And most of the testing was invasive. Mm. I was diagnosed and treated by smart pill findings.
Okay.
But for most, it's by gastric emptying mm-hmm. study.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we're familiar with a lot of barium laced egg salad sandwiches around here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's it. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if it's
my
the same.
My least favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but yeah, that's, I mean, can be effective, an effective test, but not fun at the time.
So, yep. Danny, do you want to share with us what you think the biggest misconception is about both EDS and also gastroparesis?
This is a great question. I would have to say there's two really big misconceptions about EDS. And the first would be that we're just double jointed.
Oh, yeah.
And the second would be that HEDS is a rare disease. Hypermobility is so much more than being double jointed. And it is also more common than believed. About 1 in 500 people are believed to have HEDS. And that is because it is under-researched. It is understudied by doctors. It is underfunded, and it's not discussed. There are also 12 other types of EDS that are far more rare. But hypermobile EDS affects every system in our body. We end up with so many comorbidities like gastroparesis, POTS, MCAS, orthostatic hypotension, organ prolapses, heart issues. As far as misconceptions about gastroparesis, I'd have to say that it's people who believe that if we're tube fed, we can't eat anything by mouth.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That is false. Mm-hmm. And it's a tad bit ableist, honestly. I rely on 1,200 calories of formula daily, but I'm still able to eat between 200 and 300 calories of food by mouth. Some gastroparesis sufferers can't eat anything, mm-hmm. while others are supplementally fed, mm-hmm. and that can fluctuate.
And yeah, and I guess our society kind of, it revolves around food for many social activities. So that knowledge is, you know, is really important because you don't want to exclude someone because of a chronic healthcare condition simply because they might not be able to participate in that.
It's always best to ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ask first.
Yeah. And Danny, had you ever heard of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome before your diagnosis? Do you know anyone else with Ehlers-Danlos, like any friends or family members?
Yes. Okay. I knew about EDS back in 2016. I met a friend on a Facebook group whose family had HEDS.
Okay.
And its comorbidities, including mm-hmm. her children and her husband. But I never thought that could be me.
Sure.
Until 2023 rolled around and my physical therapist did the Beighton scale with me mm-hmm. and went over all my comorbidities with me. Mm-hmm. And I checked all the boxes.
Yeah, that puzzle just came together.
Yeah, I have so many followers and friends on TikTok who are zebras. Mm-hmm. I have, what was I going to say? Oh, as far as I'm aware, my child and I are the only diagnosed zebras in my family.
Okay.
But my sister and my nephew also have high Beighton scale scores.
Okay, sure. And Danny, how have you and your healthcare team chosen to treat your gastroparesis? You said you are using a feeding tube. And are,
yeah, yeah, but that was a journey.
Okay, yeah.
That was a journey to get that.
Okay.
So my healthcare providers initially treated my gastroparesis symptoms with nausea meds like promethazine, suppositories, and Reglan.
Okay.
Which gave me severe anxiety, and the promethazine makes you really sleepy. I was unable to take any of the antibiotic treatments because I have MCAS and I mm-hmm. have allergies up the yahoo.
Okay.
I had to fight hard for an NJ tube and then again for a GJ and now for a GJ split to have my stomas separated to a G and a J stoma.
Okay.
Presently, my mm-hmm. body has rejected 3 GJ tubes in the last 3 months.
Oh.
So we are switching to a separate G and a J stoma later this month. 70% of people with gastroparesis are able to treat their GP with medications alone. Mm-hmm. But the other 30% are tube fed like me mm-hmm. And are given internal feeding like NJ, GJ, G tubes, J tubes, and PPN and TPN. But we try to avoid the PPN and TPN until all of every of the other tube options has been tried. Roughly 267 people per 100,000 adults in the US have gastroparesis. It is far from common. I've read about more people with EDS. Mm-hmm. having or developing gastroparesis mm-hmm. online, just on TikTok, mm-hmm. that so many of us have GP as a comorbidity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's wild.
Yeah, it's a good avenue of study for any researchers out there who need to do their dissertation. Yeah, if they're looking for a study.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, Danny, with EDS, what modifications, if any, do you make what to prevent any type of injury? How do you take care of yourself?
Yeah. To prevent injuries with EDS, I use bilateral hinged knee braces, a custom LSO, which is a lumbosacral orthosis, for low back pain. Mine is being custom built to, have holds for my stomas.
Okay.
I use swan neck ring splints for my hypermobile fingers, loft strand crutches for balance and short distance walking, and I love my Pride Jazzy Evo. It's a power chair. I use it for long distances and bad flare days, as well as when I'm cooking.
Okay.
And I have to ask, do you have a pole with a flag on it?
Pole? Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
I mean, okay. You've gotten hit by cars 5 times.
I have 2 LED attached to the front of my wheelchair, powered off of my wheelchair.
Yeah.
They're so bright. They would blind a pedestrian walking by me. And I also have a safety vest, a high-res safety vest, and a 6-foot yellow orange flag. And I have still been hit with that.
Wow. Wow.
It's the city's infrastructure, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I have raised awareness about the infrastructure in our city, and they've just made such turtle-like progress. Mm. It's pretty sad. We don't even have any disabled people signs letting people know there's disabled people in the area. let alone cross signals.
I thought that was federal law.
Yeah,
it is. It is. And my and I've proven multiple points in our city are non-ADA compliant. I made the news about it.
Well, hopefully changes will be made.
Yeah.
But I mean, not like, soon enough, obviously.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you off on a tangent, but
no.
But, you know,
I highly recommend the Jazzy, though, because that thing got hit twice by a car, once at 30 miles an hour. And it saved my life.
Okay.
Wow.
And I even like I wrote the CEO of Pride directly an email and I thanked him for actually building quality products because he saved my life by building such a sturdy 400-pound weighted chair.
Right.
Had it tipped over, I wouldn't be here today.
Wow.
So you were hit at 35 and you stayed upright?
Yes. I did. I was hit between 25 and 35, that little range. We don't really know. And I was hit directly on the left side and my wheelchair just spun down the street 15 feet.
Oh my goodness.
I got a concussion and multiple bruises, but other than that, I was just shook.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, luckily I had my tube feeding at that point because after every accident, I go through a period of where I can't eat.
Okay.
So it's bad. But yeah, I truly believe that my mobility aids have helped me prevent some of my flares. And I've been using them, my aids, for almost 6 years, even before doctors told me I needed them.
Okay.
Because I knew the cane. And then I had to fight for the walker and the wheelchair. The wheelchair was the biggest fight in itself. I didn't have an EDS diagnosis at the time. I was just, I got my wheelchair with foot drop and fibromyalgia.
Okay.
And it took 7 months to get my wheelchair, a script for it. And for the time being, I was just using a ratty old transport chair that was donated to me. And it was embarrassing. It was, you know, humiliating to be suffering and fighting for a prescription for a wheelchair I clearly needed because I was a fall risk. And my advice, if you're fighting for a wheelchair, for a script with Ehlers-Danlos, don't give up. Keep pushing. I had a stack of 500 pages of notes from doctors at my wheelchair visit. And I swear to God, they didn't question it.
So I'm going to ask a question, and it's just because of where I work, but did you have an advocate or a therapist or somebody that you were working with that?
No.
Okay. Because
that might help. Advocate.
Yeah. It sounds like a very good advocate for yourself, but.
Like maybe
I had a
social
case manager
or oh you did
I had
okay.
a case
okay.
manager
okay.
present
okay
but they really weren't able to do much more than I was
wow
so
well good for you though good for you
and on the flip side it's disheartening to try to do the reverse as well try to get to go from wheelchair to walker is hard and
it's
then
so
go
hard.
From and then go from walker to cane it's it's very hard.
That's me. All the time. Throughout the entire day, I'm fluctuating. I'm going from, you know, walking on walls to walking with a cane to wheelchair. I use at least three mobility aids a day, not to mention my stair lift. So I'm constantly using aids to help me function and remain full on spoons and because if I walked all day I'd be up for 2 hours a day and I'd be in bed the rest of
the
day.
Right. Well I'm glad
too much.
Glad you found things that work for you. That's that's fantastic.
Yeah. Finding a balance helps.
Yes.
Exactly. It's all about balance and making sure that you're not just sitting in the chair all day. You have to stay moving or you will fall apart. It happened to me.
Yeah, and especially with POTS and everything, you don't want to get deconditioned. It's it's a very hard balance.
Exactly.
It's a hard balance.
And hard.
I think I'm going to throw something in there that we don't talk about. Have
the recumbent bike?
No, Recumbent Bike is a great resource that, or a great thing you might want to try. And then also online, they have exercise programs for individuals living with, like, with POTS.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew
because,
that.
Like, you can't do the...
I can't exercise. No, I can do are the stretch bands.
Right,
you
right.
know? Like,
and this is right. This is a program where it's like every day is a little bit different. And because you can't mm-hmm. go from like standing to floor work and then jumping right. up and down. It's a different mindset. And it's on mm-hmm. YouTube. They have a number of POTS exercise programs, which is great. Otherwise, you might also want to look under dysautonomia exercise programs.
Exercises.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of my friends do chair yoga.
Yes, mm-hmm. and they even have like...
And they find it very beneficial.
Right.
Oh, that's great. And they also have like exercises you can do in bed. So they'll walk you through. Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Now that we have discussed the basics, I think our listeners mm-hmm. have a better understanding of these conditions. Mm-hmm. In order to better serve our guests and listening audience, we are now working as an affiliate with a major medical supply warehouse located here in the United States. You will find our affiliate links on our website. Our goal is to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on individual diagnoses to make it less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you might need. We are open to your suggestions and we'll adjust our offerings based on what you, our guests, and listeners find helpful.
Thank you, Ron. And Danny?
That is amazing. I have actually a couple recommendations for EDS stuff myself.
Perfect.
We're gonna love that list.
Yes, we are definitely going to add mm-hmm. that list. Mm-hmm. How do you cope with chronic pain? Have you tried any alternative therapies like massage, acupuncture, heat, ice, anything like that help?
Yeah, I have. I cope with chronic pain in a lot of different ways. I smoke medicinal cannabis. I have my medical card. I have for 7 years. I take prescription pain medication, ice, massages, like a massage gun, mm-hmm. heat, rest, and using my mobility aids. I find I can save a lot of spoons simply by listening to my body and its needs and by using the proper aids when I need them, as well as medication.
Okay. And the massage gun, that's not too much for your body?
No.
Are they adjustable, like low speed?
There's low speed, okay. mid speed. Okay. It's like it offers heat and ice as an option. And my husband does it for me.
Okay.
We focus on my traps mm-hmm. and we focus on my shoulder blades, but we avoid the neck. We avoid the areas of the top of our neck
uh-huh.
and our spine. So it's really just working on the fascia muscle.
Okay. All right.
And I find it beneficial. It puts me to sleep at night.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
Have you, kind of along that same line of thinking with the, massage gun. Have you ever tried a TENS unit?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And I get some relief, but I don't find it as effective as the massage.
Okay.
I don't recommend chiropractic care
for those that
have EDS.
Right, either do we. Right.
If you think you have it or you do have EDS, just avoid it, because I've been getting it since I was 8 years old. My parents took me to the chiropractor instead of a medical doctor for all of my aches and pains mm-hmm. due to Ehlers-Danlos.
Mm-hmm.
But they just said it was growing pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it further damaged my body because I suffer from degenerative discs and bone islands in my spine and end plate sclerosis of my spine. Acupuncture, I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the punctures were too painful for my skin.
Okay.
Sure.
Right.
And I couldn't understand it because it was a group acupuncture session
mm-hmm.
and everyone else was laying on the floor passed out. But I'm sitting here like, I'm in pain. Get these out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it, but that was 12 years ago when I was only 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried every common homeopathic method, mm-hmm. right down to like, you know, Kratom years ago. Mm-hmm. So I mean, what works for me now is what's working, right. But it took me years to get this relief.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess it can be very challenging to figure out
what you can tolerate.
Yeah, because everybody's different. Yeah. Right. So it's great that you found some things that really work for you. And what would you say, and I don't think a lot of us you said that, you know, like it's more rare than the Ehlers-Danlos. So what are some of the less obvious parts of your life that are affected by gastroparesis?
Oof, that's a good one too. So some of the less obvious parts of my life affected by my gastroparesis are intimacy.
Okay.
Outings with friends to restaurants or fairs. I avoid sitting down at restaurants mm-hmm. and watching my friends eat mm-hmm. Because it's literal torture, because up here, I want to eat, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like staring at the food and I'm like, oh my God, I can literally taste it in my mouth,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's torture. So I just get takeout. If okay. I'm going to have my 200 calories, I'll order a side order of hash browns and I'll take it to go.
Okay.
So that I don't have to eat in front of other people super slow mm-hmm. and I don't have to burp in public and I can just, you know, eat in my own private place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of outings, I mean, intimacy, I have to mm-hmm. prepare. Mm-hmm. That's number one. You know, lubricant, toys if needed, because a lot of people with Ehlers-Danlos have desensitization down there. We don't feel as much as everyone else feels. And that's when you get your modifications by mm-hmm. going out, and whether it's a vibrator or whatever. I found that has helped me.
Okay.
And I'm sure it would help other people that suffer from that desensitization.
Okay.
I have to use wedges mm-hmm. and I suggest them. They're like foam wedges. You can just go to Walmart and buy like a triangular wedge and mm-hmm. that would work. But there are custom intimacy wedges that you can buy online that are much more effective than just the triangular wedge at Walmart.
Okay.
And proper communication.
Oh, sure.
It is key to communicate with your partner when you're feeling pain, because a lot of us feel pain with both EDS and gastroparesis during intimacy. Mm-hmm. And we need that accommodation, you know, mm-hmm. of easy or, you know, too much.
Mm-hmm. And that's great advice for, I think, everyone. Universal great yeah. advice. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of outings, like I require my wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And that means that I have to have money to fill up my wheelchair van, and it has to be functioning. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. so old that it complicates travel with my friends. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends that I have in real life have been so accommodating, but a lot of them were not. And that led to me, you know, like separating. And
sure.
Truthfully, my surviving parent mm-hmm. is the only person I can say who cannot seem to understand
oh.
that I cannot eat by mouth mm-hmm. adequately to survive. And like this example I was thinking of was like, imagine the guilt of your parent, the only parent you have left, making you a meal, coercing you to eat the meal, and feeling the guilt of denying the meal.
Right, because they feel like
worse, mm-hmm. eating the meal.
Right.
Because you were so guilted, tripped into it, that you end up vomiting sickly when you get home. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't recommend doing that, because I've done it plenty of times because I felt guilty. And definitely wouldn't recommend force feeding yourself.
No, for
so,
sure.
So they feel like food is love.
Right.
Yes.
And you have to try
and
to find it.
He doesn't believe.
Okay.
He can't grasp. He
yeah.
cannot grasp that somebody cannot eat food.
Right. So you have to find like an alternative form of expressions of love. Okay.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That has completely negated itself. Right. He has no other way of showing love. Okay. So
that's hard.
Maybe you need to find something else that he can do for you to show love and make suggestions. I don't know. I'm just saying
that. I tried.
Okay. Yeah, it's...
There's just no getting through. Yeah. He's a boomer. And that's not in a sense insult.
I was looking over at Lena over there going, what's wrong?
It's age. Yeah. Lena, you seem like a super relaxed, you know, super progressive, you know?
Yeah, she's a progressive boomer.
Well, my father is stuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
My father is stuck. In the times, and he's not evolving.
Okay, that's
a shame.
Yeah.
Well, what advice do you have for someone that has been recently diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos and gastroparesis? And what is the best advice that you have received for when you've been living with these chronic health conditions?
My advice to anyone recently diagnosed with EDS, don't be ashamed if you need to go out and buy yourself a cane. Don't feel bad for using crutches. Don't feel bad if you need a wheelchair or you need to go out and have, you know, someone push you, or if you can't do a manual chair being pushed, or if you can't do the manual like me, ask and advocate for the electric power chair. It's so much less exertion in a power chair.
And I think that power chair.
Also, it's okay. I swear, like, you can save so many spoons by using your aids. And we all know there's just so much ableism in the world around being young or even using an aid at all. That you will need to build your backbone. There are going to be people that are going to tear you down in public.
Right.
It's happened to me. It's happened to my friends. Prepare for it. Know that that may happen and have a response prepared for when it does.
Okay.
So something like, it helps me. That's all that matters. And staying strong and remembering that you are perfect the way that you are, even with your AIDS. The best advice I ever received ever was from a well-known and devoted, I mean devoted, connective tissue disease advocate, John Rodas. Paraphrasing, it was, we must not build only a wall around our doctors and our care team. We need to build a legislative wall around our care team as well. Do not be afraid to call your senator, your state rep, your governor in order to advocate for yourself or others.
Okay. And I guess having state representatives that are responsive to that can be extremely beneficial. And when you were saying, you know, using having aids can be extremely helpful, I remember my grandfather, one of his happiest, and he kept telling us this was one of, you know, he was so happy to have a self-propelled
wheelchair.
He said, because it gave him freedom that he hadn't had before. And he was able to do
that
so much more. And it was that freedom, he said, was just so empowering and made him ever so happy. Yes. And he said if he had known about that and had that sooner, you know, he said, you know, like he wondered what things would have been like and, you know, how much. And it was, I was glad that we were able to be part of that.
I'm glad you were too.
Yeah.
I could say the same thing. My wheelchair is like
freedom.
A second set of legs.
Yeah.
It is my freedom. I can literally sit in my chair and I can go walk to the store like any other person. I can go to concerts like any other person. And it gives me comfort. Mm-hmm. It gives me freedom. It gives me pain relief. And I've even customized my chair to make it look like me too.
Nice.
And And I suggest other people to do the same. Mm-hmm. Make your mobility aids yours.
We would like to make yours fluorescent, you
know, yeah,
with flashing lights all over it. Or maybe like a tank.
And yeah, and
I can't
and
get with lights.
With
plating. enclosed in Kevlar.
Yeah. Yes.
like a little dome.
Oh, yes. The Pope Mobile.
Oh.
We'll give you a little Pope Mobile.
Yeah, when
the
I was yes, when I was hearing about the update, I was like, "Oh my gosh." Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Danny, what inspired you to start your TikTok channel at the Stoned Zebra? Or not the, at Stoned Zebra.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My family, this brings me back to one of the questions that was on here about mm-hmm. family and support. Mm-hmm. And my family decided that my EDS, my gastroparesis, chronic pain, mood disorder, comorbidities, you know, autism, was mm-hmm. too much for them, and it was too much of a stress. I haven't had contact with any of my family in almost 7 months since my tube feeding journey began.
Okay.
I left Facebook. Mm-hmm. I had 220 people that were following me, and I knew them in person, mm-hmm. but they didn't care or comment that I was sick or on any of my updates. They just kept saying, Facebook is not the place for your dirty laundry.
Wow. Oh,
and I'm thinking to myself, my life is dirty laundry? Okay, that's not cool. Mm-hmm. So that's when I went to TikTok and I said, I am going to build my own inclusive community. And the majority of my support and friends are through TikTok. And I was inspired to start my channel because at the time, I was only surviving on concentrated cannabis, what they known as wax or dabs.
Mm-hmm.
And for 6.5 years, that's all doctors would prescribe me mm-hmm. because fibromyalgia patients don't deserve chronic pain treatment. They get, you know, diclofenac and they get Tylenol, but God forbid you ask for pain management with just a fibromyalgia diagnosis. So I had to wait until after my EDS diagnosis for real pain management, which took 6.5 years, which is why I chose the Stone Zebra.
Okay.
Because I survived 6.5 years mm-hmm. of being suffering with Ehlers-Danlos with cannabis alone. And I believe that it is a miracle plant medication. After coming to TikTok, I found so many fellow zebras who were in the same position as me.
Mm-hmm.
And we would trade doctors' names, you know, we would trade treatment options, and we'd talk about mobility aids with each other and what worked for who. And that's actually how I'm on pain management right now, is I took the advice of another zebra who had success with this medication, and I ended up having fairly decent success with it too. And that's essentially how I found the pain management that I'm on. But ultimately, I lost my former friends and my blood family.
Mm-hmm.
But in return, I built my own community of support. We support each other mm-hmm. on my page. We are inclusive. And it's been amazing having being supported and supporting others and raising awareness too.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
That's the best part of it, I think.
Yeah.
And what's next in your advocacy work?
So my next topic in advocacy is going to be regarding chronic pain patients receiving adequate pain management. Some may know, some may not, but the DEA is reducing the morphine milligram equivalent again mm-hmm. this year. Even to those who have palliative care and chronic illness. They're further reducing our access to meds, and it's causing shortages that are already happening. This reduction was due to the fact that the DEA lumped all of the substance use disorder overdoses into the overdoses that were chronic pain patients.
Mm-hmm.
So any person who overdosed that had stimulants or a pain management in their system were counted as a chronic pain / substance use disorder overdose. instead of counting us separately.
Okay.
Because there are so many less chronic pain patients overdosing than there are SUD patients.
Mm-hmm.
And the number increased. So they're scared and they're cutting it back. And this is stigmatizing chronic pain patients as those who will get addicted or those who are already addicted. And that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the same group. We don't belong being counted as the same statistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a challenging time to need pain medication.
And substance use patients, I believe that they need their life-saving medications, but so do we.
Mm-hmm.
And that boils down to why we're facing a pain and stimulant medication shortage right now.
Mm-hmm.
My hopes are to raise awareness for this and to change how the government and other people view chronic pain patients and our life-saving medications and also protecting access to them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We look forward to watching that, you know, that unfold.
That'll develop. Yes, right, yes. Right. Deanny, thank you so much for joining our show today. How can our listeners learn more about you and your YouTube channel and your Stone
TikTok.
Zebra.
Yeah, okay. TikTok. Yeah.
Well, no, she has a YouTube channel,
YouTube
too.
Okay.
I don't have YouTube.
TikTok.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. If you would like to follow my rare disease journey, send me a follow request along with a message of where you heard about my story.
Okay.
I keep my rare journey locked down to friends only because I've had some, you know, lawyers from hospitals looking at my page, and I've had a lot of trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep my circle small, but if you've made contact before following or after following, I'm more than willing to allow you to be a part of my journey and community. My advocacy work and my business promotion is available to everyone.
Okay.
And that's on my Stone Zebra page. But if you'd like to follow and see my handmade gifts and my online store on TikTok, I'm on TikTok Shop.
Okay.
And I sell disability-related content.
Okay,
great.
And LGBTQ awareness stuff.
Okay.
And I sell paper crafts.
Oh, okay.
So I'm at SZ Creations, and it's also at the symbol, Stoned Zebra Creations without the O in stoned. They censored my page because the word stoned was in it.
Okay, gotcha.
So I had to take the word O out of my business
hashtag. Okay. All right,
it.
So
I haven't gotten a lot of followers on my business yet, but I'm building it. I've only been in business for 3 months.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, early days.
I donate 5% of my proceeds to the Connective Tissue Coalition every month.
Okay.
Nice.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Well, we'll make sure that we have links for your sites on the page.
That would be great.
That you, we develop a page for each of our guests. So we'll put links.
Awesome.
We'll put links there for sure. And if you have,
that'd be great.
You're welcome. And if anybody has any questions or comments related to today's show, reach out to us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, on our website, podcastdx.com. We're also on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok.
Yes. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your
healthcare provider,
physician, or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.